Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions. Whether you need a new warehouse line, hedging, or are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lickin' on Lending, David Lickin.
Hello, everybody. Happy November 9th. It's good to have you with us again this week. Lots to talk about, and we're going to get right into it. As we have every week, we have Joe Farr of MBS Quoteline on the line to give us the latest updates on rates. Joe,
hey,
good to have you here with us.
Thank you. Yeah, so far, Dave, it's been a good morning, especially if you're a stock investor. Boy, the stock market is up big time today, and in fact, we reached a new high for the year.
Wow.
Yeah. Apparently, over the weekend, the G20, the group of 20 industrial nations, got together, and the decision among the group was that it was too early to remove the stimulus that, you know, the U.S. and many other countries have put into their economies, and that means cheap money for longer, especially for those who are borrowing money to invest in things like the stock market. So we're seeing a nice day on the stock market.
And, yep, and 100, you know, up 150 right at the moment.
Yeah.
Trading at 10,173. That's all.
And you know, in days past, when we've seen the stock market really rally, we've oftentimes seen the mortgage-backed security market get beat up. But so far today, so good. We're still up a couple 30 seconds over where we ended Friday. And, you know, so that's all good. We do have a Treasury auction that's being announced in real soon, and hopefully I'll be able to relay that on to our listeners real quick. But the Treasury auction of three-year notes is due to be announced in the next few minutes. So, so far, so good today.
Well, we look forward to get that live report as your staff hands it to you. If we're in another segment, you'll break in and give it to us. We look forward to getting that.
Last week, still a pretty good week. We didn't move a lot. Rates got just a little bit better. And big news last week came out. The Fed meeting ended, and their announcement was made, and not really any big surprises in that announcement. They did say that there'd be no change in the Fed funds rate, which was well expected. Rates remain low and should be low for an extended period of time, according to the Fed. Now, when they're talking about that, they're talking about Fed funds rates, not the longer term rates. You know, they're encouraging on the economy and housing, and the big thing was that they kind of tipped their hand, and investors are trying to read into their statement what's going to direct their next move higher. And what they said was that, because inflationary pressures were low in the, right now, and because unemployment was high, they didn't see a need to raise rates. And what investors are kind of reading into that is that that's going to be what they're going to focus on. Now, that is their directive, to maintain control over inflation and hopefully full employment. So it's not a surprise, but it's kind of a clue that people are going to look at, and I think we'll see more attention paid to those inflation reports that come out in the future, as well as obviously the jobs report. The October jobs report came out on Friday, and it certainly didn't give the Fed any reason to think it's now time to raise rates. The fewest jobs of the year were lost, but it's still losing jobs, and so.
Yeah, I mean, there's two aspects about that number. I mean, the number keeps growing, and we're now up over 10%. But yet, you know, as they spun the report, or as the report actually, you know, I guess it's not spinning, but it's actually reported, is it's the fewest job losses, and so it appears to be bottoming out, and hopefully we're seeing that. And so that's tremendous. But what's really encouraging is to watch both the equities, the stock market specifically, rallying as it has today on the news. And but it's rallying on news, not on fundamentals. And that's, I think, an important distinction, which makes it a precarious rally, if at best. But I think there is, and that's probably why the bonds and the mortgage backs specifically are, you know, showing the stability or the strength or the plateau that they are right now. What do we have on the calendar this week? I know we've got the report coming out from the Treasury auctions, the three-year notes here.
Yeah. Well,
any minute.
Got it. Yeah, here we go.
Oh, good. Hot off the press.
You know, CNBC likes to grade these things, and they gave it a grade of A. There was a very strong bid-to-cover ratio, 3.3 to 1. In the past, it's been a little bit less than that, about 2.6. Very, very strong indirect bid, and indirect bids are bids that may be coming from foreign investors, but, you know, it's the best gauge you can get for participation by foreigners, foreign governments, and that was at 68%, which is very high.
That's
and the yield, the yield that they were auctioned at actually went down just a bit, from 1.43 to 1.4. So, first round this week, very good. We got two more coming up. The 10-year and the 30-year are really going to be a little more indicative to the mortgage market as to what investors are thinking, the 10-year especially. So that's tomorrow. And then on Wednesday, we're going to the Bond Market Association has recommended people be closed for Veterans Day on Wednesday.
Right.
And then Thursday is the 30-year auction. No real economic events to be released next week. Just those Treasury auctions.
So we don't have any bombs sitting out there that are going to blow up the rates this week. So we should hopefully anticipate rates are being stable. But, I mean, it comes back to this. Anyone who's listening to this program, then you're a loan officer, originator, manager of business, sales manager. If you're talking to your salespeople, what's the thing that we say every time, Joe? Lock now. Don't play the market.
You never know.
They never know. But, again, if they want the information, what a great resource you are. Thank you so much for bringing it on. Is there anything more that we have for this segment on the rates, Joe?
No, just keep your eye on it, and the 10-year Treasury auction will be important tomorrow. It could be a market moving event.
Yeah, that one could be. Well, thank you so much. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this word.
Looking for that competitive edge? MBS QuoteLine delivers live market coverage for originators. Get up-to-the-minute mortgage market news and analysis as events occur.
Get MBS prices as trades happen.
Straight to your computer, email, cell phone, or PDA. Know in advance when your investors will reprice. Make better lock float decisions and increase your income. Be the expert your clients expect and know what's moving interest rates right now, tomorrow, and beyond. MBS QuoteLine, delivering live market coverage for originators. Learn more about MBS QuoteLine today at MBSQuoteLine.com.
MBSQuoteLine.com.
646-716-4972. The Lickin on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lickin.
Well, thank you so much. For many of you that are tuning in for the first time, I should bring out to kind of give you an overview of the segment, how we run the program. We have three basic segments. The first one out of the gate, of course, is interest rates. Is there anything hotter news than interest rates? But right behind that, what we're going into now is the legislative update. And we have the talented, dynamic, and highly educated Alice Alvey, president of Mortgage U. If you're president of Mortgage U, you got to be pretty smart. And she digests all these issues every week for us to keep us up. Alice, give us a rundown on all the latest legislative updates that are coming down and at us like a tsunami wave.
Oh, well, thanks very much, Dave, for that kind introduction. But it's really just the School of Mortgage Banking Hard Knocks, or Hard Knocks School of Mortgage Banking, I think is all it
well,
is.
Well, we're all graduates of that, especially lately.
Right. So what I'm going to do here, we have had some updates on things. So I'm going to start with those, and then we'll sum up with some of the ones that are sitting still. So back at end of October, we did get our loan limits extended. So the current high loan limits that we have will be extended into 2010. H.R. 3548 was signed by the president. Everybody's going, wait a minute, you never mentioned that one before. Well, that's because the homebuyer tax credit got slid into an unemployment compensation bill, And so we did get the extension on that. It does have some new provisions with it. So contracts must be dated by April 30th, and then the loans must close by June 30th of 2010. And so the credit has been extended. It's $8,000 for those filing jointly, $4,000 for income up to $125,000 for individuals, and maximum price of the house can be $800,000. I think that's okay. We're going to talk more about that in our Hot Topic segment. So, but just to give everybody some, at least a little sigh of relief that did get an extension. Then we have House Bill 3126, which we've always been watching. It's the Consumer Financial Protection Agency. The Committee on Energy and Commerce marked this up October 29th, and they replaced the idea that there's going to be an executive with now there's going to be a five-member panel. This panel has been referred to as the Acorn Amendment because the description for the panel closely matches Acorn's mission statement that this panel should be made up of five members who are experts in consumer protection, fair lending, and civil rights. You know, and I don't mean that in any disrespect. It just matches up. So that is just the way that is going to be laid out. As a reminder, then the House Financial Services Committee markup was 1026. There's no preemption for federal state chartered depositories is what is also trying to get written into the CFPA. So the Consumer Financial Protection Agencies has some pieces that we're watching, and it's also looking at the possibility that they're trying to put in some parts of House Bill 1728. That's the one that had our skin in the game provisions.
The 10%, yep.
Yeah, so we're kind of watching that, but we're also watching this draft Financial Stability Improvement Act, this too big to fail bill. So this piece is going to create Financial Services Oversight Council to monitor risks. It's going to do some things to give this regulatory body some power, but in this piece, definitely right now, is called credit risk retention. They're looking at that we're supposed that lenders would have to hold 10% credit risk on the loans. So this one we're watching very closely. That could really hurt
major.
A lot of companies.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a major game changer.
Yeah, so we can talk about more. I think that's on our Hot Topics list as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so I can quickly run through. The red flags rule has been extended to June 1st of 2010. RESPA hasn't gone away, so as of now, our good faith estimates we do have to have that new form as of January 1st. We could talk about that. And then from a bill standpoint, we are still seeing that there is House Bill 3706. This is the one that they were trying to get FHA loans to change to a 5% down payment. That has not moved anywhere, but we're keeping an eye on it for you. Several other bills that are just about the banking side that we're watching for you, but I guess most noticeably is our Reg Z proposed rule that is down to just simple, what do we have, where's our count, Dave? 49 days or 46 days.
We got to get that website up so we have the clock just spinning away and the number, the countdown. Yeah, it's coming on us.
Yeah, 46 days. So the RESPA proposed rule.
There it is.
Watch out for loan officer compensation would no longer be able to be based on interest rate or the terms of the loan. I mean, so there's many other provisions in the 600-plus page bill, but those are the main pieces people are concerned about.
600 pages. You know what? You look at the health care bill, it had 2,000 pages. I mean, this was a light bill compared to what's going to be produced out of the legislature.
Oh, that's what you think, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, golly. And you read all 600 pages, I'm sure, just to get all of this.
Well, close. I don't know.
Yeah, it is a lot.
It is a lot going on. Fannie Mae has increased their minimum net worth requirements to $2.5 million plus the quarter of the outstanding loans that are in servicing, so that's big news as well.
Yep.
We've had some transition going on with that, but that's a big number. And then FHA came out with their mortgagee letters to clarify condo approvals. Lots going on.
Lots going on. Well, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right after this. Break, and we will talk about this in more depth. Thank you so much, Alice, for bringing this to us each week. word
Looking
forever.
For a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality training throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals
providing classroom and web-based delivery
and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees both live and online on everything from application through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lickin' on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here's David Lickin.
Good to have you back. Again, we try to cover in the first two segments the hot issues on the rates and then the legislative update. And now we enter into, let's bring in our panel experts, Joe and Alice, and let's really start digesting a lot of the news. A lot of the news that has been out there has been in the area of the legislation that's pending. And Alice and Joe, let's start diving into it again. Let's help dissect this, really help people anticipate what this means to their businesses. And we've got so many people listening for the first time again today. We want to thank you so much for calling in and listening in on both the Internet. I think this is the largest audience we've had listening in on via the Internet, as well as the number of people calling in. So thank you so much for being a part of the program. Let us know and give us your feedback. You can email me, Dave Lickin, or D-L-Y-K-K-E-N, at mortgagebankingsolutions.com, and share us your feedback. Also, Twitter. We're on all the social networks, Facebook, Twitter, Plaxo, LinkedIn. You know, I tell you, for a guy that is can't type, I've still got a lot of social networks out there. Joe and Alice, let's dive into this thing. And oh, by the way, I apologize for my spelling right now on all the social networks. I'm terrible at it. Alice, I got to go take one of your classes on how to spell. But anyway, let's dive into some of these issues, some of the hot ones that are coming in with a 3548 that was just signed by the president. Is there more that we need to dive into some of that? I think just the fact that that's extended is big news. I mean, there's a big debate. Is this good for our economy? Is this just more bailout money? I mean,
well, it's also adding people who are not first-time home buyers, which is something the realtors really push for. And
yeah, they did. Their
mortgage industry
was big on that.
Yeah, and so the credit is available to someone other than a first-time home buyer.
That is significant, Joe.
Yeah, it is. I think that opens up. I think the ruling for that is if you've owned or lived in the same residence for 5 consecutive of the last 8 years, then you qualify for this a reduced credit. You qualify for $6,500 if it's joint and $3,250 if you're an individual. So a little bit less of a credit, but certainly opens up to individuals who have lived in the same residence for, again, it's 5 out of the last 8. And I think the logic behind that is, well, maybe you've moved out recently, but, you know, a couple years ago you had 5 consecutive years in a home.
Yeah, so right now that means you don't have to be selling a home in order to buy a home and get the tax credit.
Correct.
But for those who did not qualify under the first-time home buyer, meaning they didn't own for the last 3 years, they can now get the $6,500.
Yes, I understand it to be that way, too.
That is correct. Again, this is significant. I was on Fox doing a Fox Business interview again recently on this topic, and I'm known as more of a free and market economist, and that's more my views goes down those lines, and I'm against bailouts of all together, of all natures. I'd rather just deal with what we have. But as you look at this, this is going to be good for our industry. Now, how it relates to the overall economy, and is this going to be viewed as truly a bailout, as a number of the talking hands out there are suggesting, the reality is we need our industry, we need a healthy real estate economy to grow out of this mess we're in. I don't think there's anything more effective than this to do so than this first-time homebuyer credit. Yeah. So that's great news.
Well, and there are a lot of people who are concerned about the additional cost to the government. One other provision I guess it's worth making sure we bring up is the idea that there are some special rules for members of the armed forces. so that if they have had to move, or then they would be exempt from the recapture within this. So if they receive government orders to move, so there are some special provisions to account for the relocation that can go on for those who are in the service.
And there's also an extension on the amount of money you can make, isn't there?
The amount of money for the income, the income limit?
Yeah,
yeah, it's $225,000 income for the filing jointly. Is that what you're referencing?
Yes, and does that apply to both the first-time home buyer and the new $6,500 credit?
Yes, there are income limits, and I've got the bill in front of me, and I'm just double-checking to see if they're identical or not. So I may have to follow up with that.
I think that they are.
I think they are, is from what I recall reading. But, Alice, you are our online researcher at all times, so we're throwing you questions right and left. By the way, I want to say I think this is the first program we literally have someone from all 50 states calling in and listening to the program, and which kind of opens up the door to another topic with the SAFE Act, what's going on out there, and all the implications. Alice, if we could jump over to that topic for a brief moment. Wait a minute. Are you still researching that number? Do you have a quick answer there?
But nope,
I think it's
you're
important.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I believe it is the same number. I don't think there's different numbers, Joe, for the various income levels. So I believe you're right in that from what I remember reading. But let's go over to the SAFE Act, because there's a lot going on with so many that are licensed in various states. And I tell you, this is a big concern. We have several clients that have said, we're exiting all these states. We can't afford to be licensed in there. Is this going to be counterproductive to really operating in multiple states?
I think it's going to be a very big challenge. There are a lot of companies who, are looking at this now and saying, wow, this is really going to add up. When I go through the list, so if you go to the National Mortgage Licensing website, which is the website is actually nationwidelicensingsystem.org, if you just put in your search browser NMLS, National Mortgage Licensing System, it'll come up as the first hit for you to link to the site. It has absolutely everything, and they have a very good table there where you can look up each state and see when the date requirements are. And I thought we'd be able to go into this and find, okay, there's some consistency with dates that states that come on. There really isn't. I mean, it's hit and miss, and the testing is different. So everybody has to know, when do I move off of my old test, and when do I have to take the new federal exam in my home state, in other words, where I get started.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that is, you look at the complexities that are being thrown on our industry, and we're laying out a lot of information here. It is important that you know that you all that are dialing in and listening by the telephone to this program, you can go to blogtalkradio.com, and in the search box put Lykken, L-Y-K-K-E-N, on lending, spell it, spaced out, with the spaces between the words not run together like a URL. Address spaced out, and you'll be able to listen to all of our previous broadcasts. So just remember Blog Talk Radio, and remember the name Lykken Unlending, and you'll be able to get there and look and listen to all this information. Again, we hope to have a website up here pretty shortly, and we'll be able to bring you a lot more information. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back after this word.
Looking for that competitive edge? MBS QuoteLand delivers live market coverage for originators. Get up-to-the-minute mortgage market news and analysis as events occur.
Get MBS prices as trades happen.
Straight to your computer, email, cell phone, or PDA. Know in advance when your investors will reprice. Make better lock-float decisions and increase your income. Be the expert your clients expect. And know what's moving interest rates right now, tomorrow, and beyond. MBS QuoteLand, delivering live market coverage for originators. Learn more about MBS QuoteLand today at MBSQuoteLine.com.
MBSQuoteLine.com.
646-716-4972. The Lykken on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lykken.
Well, that was a special thank you again to the folks at MBS QuoteLine for getting the invitation out. We want to get out. And Joe, it's nice that you get two spots here in one program. I thought you'd like that. Mm-hmm. Alice, we were looking at 1326 and, the acorn. I tell you, I just hear the word acorn right now. I tell you, my blood pressure starts going up. Is there anything more in 1326 that we need to get into?
Well, I think, it's just the idea of that in this Consumer Financial Protection Agency, there will be a group of individuals, and it does include in the definition, that it includes a 5-member board made up of experts in consumer protection, fair lending, and civil rights, representatives of depository institutions that primarily serve underserved communities. So that's the group that would make up this panel, and that panel is going to be a part of looking at the products. You know, again, all the details of the CFPA are to be worked out and how much oversight they have. I mean, there's still a lot of undefined boundaries for what this agency is going to do. And so, you know, when you say, well, there's a group that is just very consumer-focused, we got to make sure there's some lender representation in that group.
Yeah.
So that, you know, both sides of the issues get heard. I am absolutely a consumer advocate, and we want the consumer to get taken care of, but you've got to look at what's the right thing to do for markets as a whole.
Well, and, Joe, there's no one going to argue with the fact that we want the consumer well protected. A lot of people feel that they weren't in this last business cycle, but, I mean, if that's legitimate, what's going on? But when you see something, the lack of lender representation, it looks like there might be another political agenda behind this one, and that's the part that's a little worrisome. Any thoughts, Joe?
Well, there are always unintended consequences when somebody that's outside the industry doesn't understand the industry completely makes the rules, and certainly we don't need any more of those, and a good representation on that would be essential to avoid that.
I just think, too, we've got to really, everybody has to get up to speed on watching this credit risk retention issue, that we just don't know where it's going to land, right? It keeps trying to surface. It's out there in 1728.
Yep.
It's trying to surface now in this Financial Stability Improvement Act, and it's all going on behind the scenes, not in front with a bill that's easy for everybody to watch.
We keep talking about the shell game and how they slip some of their favorite hot issues underneath there. I'll tell you, the skin in the game is another one of those things that could be such a massive game changer. There seems to be a lot of feeling that this is about getting the little guys out of the business. And so I'm really concerned about it. I want to go over and focus on something you mentioned in your notes in the pre-program or the pre-show discussion that we had, Alice, is that in the news reported that Wells Fargo executives wrote in a letter to HUD stating that they do not want to postpone the RESPA implementation. In other words, hurry up, get this thing on board. We need to have this. Any insights into that other than, it is good for the consumers. It actually has some simplicity to it, so it's kind of a mixed bag, but mostly good.
Yeah, I think the challenge is if you're a large lender and this is a big, animal that's out there, you've got to start doing your computer programming. And
yeah,
you have to start early. And I think that's the issue, is how do you turn the Titanic? Isn't it you have to turn the front to go left and the back has to turn right? Like, you have to turn opposite directions to actually turn the ship. It's hard to turn a big ship around if it's already on track to meet this January 1st deadline.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting the programming done is no simple process. But I think the reason I bring that up is that I think Wells Fargo is very constructive and being very much a part of this. I see less of the Wells Fargo being a part of the crowd that seems to want to squeeze out the little guy. They seem to be then they're trying to do in Spain, stay neutral, do everything they can. They're the behemoth in the out there. I mean, to our friends at B of A and Chase and Citi, and we appreciate all of you, the reality is that someone the size of Wells Fargo has got to play that very carefully. I mean, Chase, J.P. Morgan Chase has been, Jamie Dimon specifically, has been out there very adamantly saying that he doesn't like brokers. He doesn't think that's good for their business model, and they've chosen the exit. Those kind of comments, and that's why I bring that up. I think Wells Fargo is one of the better firms. I don't think there's an agenda behind that. The fact is that this has just got to get implemented. They need lead time to do so. Let's talk about the agents. Go ahead, Al. Sound like you were already made.
Oh, I was just going to say, we've had 14 months to get this started, and it really is just, I mean, ultimately, the form is not that hard. I understand, because we've gone line by line through it with salespeople. What the key issue is from a sales standpoint, I've got to retrain how I talk and how I speak and how I communicate certain points because, you know, of the way the new GFE is laid out. But it is doable. And HUD, I think, has already come out. I think Commissioner Stevens had a point out there of, look, we know we're not going to start writing you up on January 2nd, that it's going to take some time to implement.
Well, we're going to have a guest on next week that is going to be really helpful in sorting through a lot of, especially some of the HUD issues, and someone that I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, but Alice is going to be very close to this individual, and we'll be on there. I'm going to be at a seminar, at a distress servicing seminar, so I will not be on the call. We're on the program next week. Alice is going to be on there with Joe, and they're going to be talking about this, but we have a surprise guest. We're going to have more on all of this. Going to the countdown, 46 days left. We keep talking. A lot of people are emailing us. What can we do? Is it too late? No, it's never too late. And remember this. Just because we come to the end of the 46 days, we are not, that doesn't mean on the 47th day all this is being enacted. It means the comment period is closing. Alice, do you want to jump on that a little bit or expand on that?
Sure. You know, that's the key piece, right? So we've got to get our comments in as an industry. You can, again, search for the Reg Z proposal. It's the proposed rule. And I should have that handy in my hand as we're talking, but I don't at the moment. I can get the docket number for you. You know, we can get that up on the website. Or, you know what, search a previous show, because I've said it back then on the website on other shows, you know, to go and connect, to put in your thoughts on this. It is absolutely, you know, if you think through ARM disclosures, for example, changing all the ARM disclosures, I can live with that. They've got some new one-page forms that aren't so bad. But the idea of finance charges, almost all of our costs turning into finance charges, that's a piece within this TILA, is that all of our APRs are going to be much higher. Well, we just implemented high-priced mortgage loans at 1.5%. And that high-priced mortgage loan threshold was set at 1.5 under current APR calculations. We start adding a bunch of fees to that, we're going to have every loan falling into that bucket. Joe,
that's,
I don't
right.
know if you guys have looked at this at all. You know, the TILA and RESPA conflict that's going on right now.
There really are. Joe, you got some comments on that?
Well, you know, that's also the proposed rule that would say that we need to change how we pay our sales force, our originators and brokers and. And you know, that's a big deal. It's a big difference, and it's big deal systemically inside your organization. How are you going to compensate people? I know there are people out there that have begun to determine what they need to do differently, but still not hearing a whole lot about that.
Well, and I don't know if that people's hoping that it's going to go away or
maybe.
I think it's going away.
I don't think there's any one single piece of legislation ruling that is out there that could have, again, the 10%, the skin in the game probably is going to have an impact at the company level. It could cause a lot of thinly capitalized companies to just not be able to play. I mean, that's just a hard case reality, a hard force reality based on how it's being talked about. But at the individual level, this is focused at, you know, regulating for the first time with implications that are so far reaching beyond the mortgage industry, compensation. And that's the part that is really serious. And quite frankly, I am surprised and shocked that there is not more screaming, jumping up and down about this. There is a new organization out there, everybody, and I want to alert all our listeners to it. And Alice and Joe, we were talking about this, and so jump on. There's the Community Mortgage Banking Project out there. A good friend of mine, Glenn Corso, and two of his partners have launched a new initiative. If you want information about it, email me and I'll email you back with contact how you can become a part of it. They are really focused at really making an intelligently going about representing the small independent or the community lenders, the independent mortgage bankers, whether they be banks, regulated banks, or independent mortgage bankers, those that are not a part of a financial institution, as well as the brokerage community. And they're trying to get in and get a voice heard there. What I want to point out about that is they published ways in which to be effective. And, Alice, I think you saw something up in Michigan where you're located, in the Detroit area, that there's something that's been published, common sense ways of how to speak to, who to speak to, and how to speak to the various representatives. Can you get into that a little bit?
Yeah, I can. You know, so the idea that if you're, you know, when you're responding to a part of this, make sure that you understand, you know, what the issues are. So your talking points are about that how this can be a negative impact to the market. And this is two things. I think this initial piece here that they were asking for comments on is the retention of the 10%. And granted, it does allow to have 5%, but, it, you know, 10% is a huge chunk of a part of the loan that a lender must try and retain. So you think of all the great community-based lender companies out there that they just don't have the financial ability to do that. So you've got to be realistic as to the benefits those types of companies provide. That's one thing it focuses on. And then it does give you the house switchboard number and your and contact your representative's office. I don't know if you want me to give you that phone number here.
Yeah, if you could, let's go ahead and people listening.
This is the house 202-224-3121, and ask to be connected to your representative's office.
Okay, repeat that number one more time so everyone can get this if they're dialing back in and listening. And again, remember, you can listen to this program recorded and on this website, Blog Talk Radio's website. And boy, thank you so much, Blog Talk, for making this possible. Repeat that number one more time.
Okay, it's 202-224-3121. And so the issue is about the skin in the game is what we keep calling it, that H.R. 1728 already has a provision in it to have lenders retain 5%. This particular piece, this stability, Financial Stability Improvement Act, is going to Financial Stability Improvement Act is looking to have 10%. We've got to get the message to Congress as to how this will negatively hurt some of the best companies that are out there serving consumers today.
And think about the layering that's happening here. We've got Fannie Mae increasing their net worth requirement, HUD's increasing their net worth requirement, or FHA. And then you start saying, and you got to retain all this liability. I got to believe that that's going to negatively impact what you can call your net worth. And so, you know, it could really put a hurt on the small to mid-sized mortgage companies.
That's a lot of loans and a lot of money, you know. And then think about a loan that's sold multiple times. How do you track that? And what happens when a loan becomes a repurchase? You know, those are some of the questions I have. And actually, how do you implement that every day?
Yeah.
You know,
the administrative cost in this, it is almost impossible to do this. Again, understand what their good intentions are. We're going to come back after this break to talk about the Fannie Mae loan limits, the nuances of the home buyer tax credit. Stay on board. Safe Act, nationwide licensing, a whole bunch of information. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry.
Whether you need a new warehouse line, or making the transition from broker to banker, are interested in mergers and acquisitions,
or anything in between, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit,
broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging, financial and accounting services, or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact a Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
And the next level is going to include increased capital requirements. You know what? I want to just say something before we get into this, Joe and Alice. This could kind of start getting a little discouraging when you look at this as you're going, my God, what's the future of our industry? What's the future of me in this industry? Well, I want to just come in. I've said this on a number of other programs, but rather than having people go back and listen, let me just put this right smack dab in the middle of this discussion. Never has there been a better time to get involved in this industry. When is there the most greatest opportunity for growth? It's when people are exiting. There are a lot of people exiting the business. A lot of this is overwhelming, and it is such an important point to understand that you calculate the cost, you understand what the rules are, that you don't ignore it, but see also the opportunity in this. I've been saying this and publishing this, just published another article in Secondary Marketing Executive, the National Mortgage Professional, a host of publications that I write for within the industry, talking on talk shows, radio programs like this one on television. More money, and here's the statement I'm making, more money will be made in the next 5 years by those that survive than the previous 25 years of all those that participated in that crazy, hyped-up industry. I kid you not, the more I make that statement, the more I look at the financial models that we're building on behalf of our clients, the more evident it's becoming that that is a reality. And I'm telling you, don't leave the industry. Yes, we've got some daunting challenges, one of which, Joe and Alice, is the increased requirements by Fannie and Freddie to be at $2.5 million net worth. Now, this has been out there for a while, but again, it's getting some increased tension as we get close to the end of this year. Effective January 1st, you must be at $2.5 million. Joe?
Yeah, $2.5 million, if you have not already begun to plan for that, I hope it's not too late. But, can you get to that? Can you continue to retain servicing? I know that there's some additional net worth you have to retain if you do keep servicing. Not a lot of people that aren't larger capitalized companies do retain servicing. But, David, what happens to somebody who is falling short, can't quite get there by January 1st? What's going to happen to their operation?
The sad part is we're going to watch some good companies go away. And we do a lot of helping companies get the capital requirements up. A lot of people say, well, I don't want to give up control of my company. Well, we'll show you if you call us. We'll walk you through the process of how to get capital into your company without giving up control. And I know that sounds difficult or a challenge, but we can do that. But the reality is this clock is ticking down on us, Joe, and what's going to happen is a lot of folks that have a Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac approval, quite frankly, their approval is going to go away. And what's even more consequential about that is the servicing. An asset that's worth money on their books will go away. Now, some would argue saying that those that have servicing and with a lower net worth requirements are probably already sold it away and we're not going to see a lot of servicing having to be forced to be transferred. But the reality is someone who's sleeping on the switch, Joe, that means they're not only going to lose their Fannie Mae approval, but they're going to lose a valuable asset, and that is specifically their servicing.
Is there much servicing being traded?
No, that's the other point. I mean, we were just talking about this with amongst our partners, my two partners, before this call on our partner call this morning that we have every morning. And we're amazed at the lack of servicing that's being traded out there. There isn't a lot. And that is those dealers that trade in the servicing markets that are traders of servicing, we're not seeing a lot of servicing being traded. It's kind of curious. So that must mean, Joe, that most of the people that have servicing that have the lower net worth are probably selling on a flow basis, trading it away as they originate it. But that is significant, the increase to that. Again, a lot of people say, well, I thought that's old news. Well, it is a fact, but they've reiterated that. The fact that it's getting pressed again, that's fairly significant. Let's talk about the home buyer tax credit, the prohibition against minors. Alice, that's something, and it has an impact on military with what happened in Fort Hood this last week, the tragedy up there. I mean, a lot of folks, so we want to do everything we can to help our military. Give us a little insights, the impact of the military and then the prohibition against minors.
Well, I think, you know, we touched on it briefly, just the idea, and I think it's interesting they have to write in there, you know, that you can't give a loan to a minor. So it just gives you an idea of some of the fraud that's been going on, you know. So
yeah.
Somewhere in there, somebody had the idea that they could put a mortgage in their child's name. I don't know. I'm still having to get my arms around that one. But, yes, there is a prohibition on doing loans to anyone under the age of 18. You must be of legal age. And then just the idea of offering the financing or the special rules that will apply for those in the military. So in certain regions, that's a big issue to be able to make sure that, you know, if I get orders and I'm getting shipped out, that I don't get burned by my tax credit at the same time.
All right, let's talk about the FHA
stepping
up there. Yeah, go ahead, Dan. Joe, I'm sorry.
I want to address one thing that I think is very significant about the new provision about the home buyer tax credit, and that would be that effective right now, you can get the credit if you buy a home after it's on Friday, because that's the day that President Obama signed the law and signed the bill into law. So that provision, the ability for somebody that has owned a home to receive a tax credit, I believe, was effective on the signature date. Alice, do you?
I believe it was.
So,
yeah, for the new piece, yeah, I believe you are right. As I'm looking at my notes here, I know that there are other parts of it that become effective December 1st. So they let this the first one expire, and then or the existing one expire, and then the new one goes into a play December 1st for most of the provisions. And then, like we said, this will last all the way up until for purchases through. You actually have to have the contract as of April 30th, and then you get 60 days to close after that.
So I guess I think if you closed on Thursday, you're out of luck, but if you closed on Friday, you just got a $6,500 credit.
Yeah, for the individuals who may have qualified.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not sure if there are provisions in there for you to, you know, because your contract won't be at the right date. And there are some pieces in here. You've got to have some supporting documentation. Now, the IRS is really on the lookout for fraud, so they're looking for a copy of the tax return and the HUD-1 that goes with the transaction. So, you know, everybody needs a heads up that they're auditing this very much tighter now.
Well, that's a good segue into the next topic, what I wanted in our hot topics. FHA is obviously stepping up their audits of bad actors, those mortgage lenders out there that are doing a lot of fraud. We're seeing almost every week now another person getting, you know, dressed up in those striped, those beautiful designer striped outfits and getting off to prison.
Well, you know, the lenders really have got to take a look at their operation. And, you know, I think where the challenge comes in is any operation that looked at FHA as the replacement of subprime income. And so Commissioner Stevens has made it well known that they are out to get after the lenders that they think are, you know, white lies in the file, fraud within the loan files, high fees and costs to consumers. They're out to get the bad actors in the FHA business.
The compare ratio is a big thing that a lot of people are looking at. We have a client that has been really working at getting their compare ratio down. It's that challenge of being aggressive and going out and providing financing for the America, for the Americans that want to get into homes, and doing it on the fringe to the point where it can come back and hit the compare ratio. Again, Alice, I'm surprised the number of people that are not familiar with the compare ratio. Cover that just for a few moments here.
Well, your compare ratio is your company's default rate in comparison with the national default rate for FHAs. And you can look at that number on a regional and a state basis as well. But FHA is going to be focused on your national number. And if your defaults get above 150%, you're not eligible for the lender insuring program. If they go above 180% of the national average, then you will be on, and then that's at a systemic rate, then you'll be on their list to come in and check. They'll be checking to see what's going on at your shop. You better be able to explain, was it an isolated thing? Some companies just get behind in insuring, and it's as simple as get your insuring caught up, because FHA doesn't know things based on loans closed.
That's right.
You need to look at things at a branch level and at a loan officer level. Most of the time, we find when a company really dissects their compare ratio problems, you can zero it down pretty tight to a few bad apples in your office or a region that's causing you problems, and you say, well, I've got to change my credit risk standards for that region.
Yep. If for those of you, we've talked about this in the past, go on to some of the previous programs and get more information on it. We don't have a lot of time left in the program, but let's talk about nationwidelicensingsystems.org. It has to do with the SAFES Act. Again, touched on that, I think, briefly earlier, but I think it's important to bring out the website again where people can go. If you could state that again, Alice.
Yep, so make sure that you're aware of when do you have to pass the new federal exam. Each state has its own date. You can find that out at nationwidelicensingsystem.org. And at that site, it's got comprehensive, detailed information about the progress of each state. Those of you who think you're going to pick up this test and you haven't studied, then you probably will not pass. It's got to be that you take the time to study and study your state exams. So what you've got is loan officers that took a combined test at many up until now. So they took each individual state's combined test. Well, now what you've got is 100 questions on federal law. So you've got a whole new bucket of federal questions, a lot of stuff on Graham Leach Bliley and things a loan officer never really touches every day. And then your state exams are much longer and much more detailed, again, about law. And you kind of go, do I really use this as a loan officer? Read your state laws in detail in order to pass those state exams.
That's a good point. I tell you, there's the other website that I referred to earlier. I want to give that, have that on the program right now so everyone can go back and listen to it and write it down. It's, again, www.communitymortgagebanking.com. CommunityMortgageBankingProject.com. CommunityMortgageBankingProject.com, spelled all out. And you can see what they're about and what's going on. Again, Glenn Corso, who founded that along with several of his friends and people that we are all mutual friends here. And we know them, encourage you to get to be familiar with what that's going on. Joe and Alice, let's talk about some of the other topics that we may not have hit on here. Obviously getting towards the end of the program. I need more coffee. Joe, let's start off with you. What's anything that you wanted to cover in this program today that we have not covered?
I'll just update on the market. It improved just slightly, not much to talk about after the very favorable three-year auction. The mortgage-backed security market does not run neck and neck with the three-year treasury. So, again, tomorrow's auction may be a little more significant to what happens to mortgage prices.
And we're watching the Dow Jones continue to have a good day out there. We're going to very soon possibly, you know, crawl up into we're up 175 on the equities at 10,199.05. So I mean we may see this crawl up continue to go up. So there's some good news obviously in the market. And what's the most encouraging? Normally when we see a market rally like this on the equities, we see us taking a hit in mortgages, and that's not happening. So
stay tuned.
Stay tuned, and we'll give you more insights next week on all of that. By the way, another thing we've been talking a lot about in previous segments is net branching. We're going to be getting back into that more in future programs. There's a lot of questions that have been emailed into us. We're in the process of putting those together. Next week, we're going to have a special guest in. It's to be announced. We already know who it is, but I'll let Alice announce it and introduce that person next week, someone very close to Secretary Stevens, and a lot of issues there that can be addressed that will help clarify what is going on with HUD. And there's certainly more insights as to this skin in the game and then loan officer compensation. Alice, as we get ready to wrap up the program, do you have anything for us?
Well, just like you'd mentioned, we have not seen any movement yet on a proposal for the $1 million net worth for FHA or the discussions that's going on of eliminating sponsorships where essentially a wholesaler
would
be responsible for brokers. We're watching every day. We don't see anything formally published on that, but again, FHA is committed to try and roll something out on that front, and we're watching that for you. So as we do always, let us know what else you need us to keep an eye on.
We will also, I want to give an update on Jennie Mae. We're talking to some of the senior folks in Jennie Mae. We've got a number of clients that have Jennie Mae applications in there and pending. Again, we're very fortunate to have on our staff a guy by the name of Matt Robinson, used to work inside of Jennie Mae in the application approval process. When we submit applications on behalf of our clients, the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted. But we can't. No matter how much grease we put on those packages, they're still not moving through there. I think we need to send a major dose of Ex-Lax into that whole system.
Oh.
And it's got to get loosened up and get some flow. They're constipated, Alice and Joe. We've got to get some of these approvals moving. We're sympathetic to our friends. So any of our friends that are dialed in from Jennie Mae listening to the program, our hearts go out to you. We know what's under there. They're telling us that they're under increased scrutiny to really be watched. They're being watched more closely. Thank you so much again for tuning in on this program. This is Dave Licken with Licken on Lending. Tell your friends about this program. Get it around. We are here to provide as a community service at no cost to you the update of what's going on in the industry. Joe, Alice, as always, it is such a pleasure to have you on here, and appreciate you taking the time to bring us this current and relevant information. Have a great week, everybody. We'll look forward to talking to you next week. Stay tuned.
This has been Licken on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Licken of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. On the web at www.mortgagebankingsolutions.com. Today's guests were Joe Farr and Scott Sanderson from MBS Quoteline, delivering live mortgage-backed security prices as trades happen, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U, your ultimate education and information resource. Come by next week, and thank you for listening.